Are you getting frustrated with what to feed a teenager who's always hungry? Everybody knows that teenagers have a huge appetite. It seems like you need to feed them constantly to satisfy their hunger. It's even more difficult where teenagers who struggle with their weight truly want to make changes, like cut down on junk food or stop overeating, and they can't. There's frustration, isolation, stress. And that's why I decided to create a recipe collection of 30 easy and healthy meals for teenagers. They're all high in protein to satisfy your teenager's hunger, and they can all be ready in less than 30 minutes. If you want to grab a free copy, go to lifestyleforteens.com/recipes. Are you getting frustrated with what to feed a teenager who's always hungry? Everybody knows that teenagers have a huge appetite. It seems like you need to feed them constantly to satisfy their hunger. It's even more difficult where teenagers who struggle with their weight truly want to make changes, like cut down on junk food or stop overeating, and they can't. There's frustration, isolation, stress. And that's why I decided to create a recipe collection of 30 easy and healthy meals for teenagers. They're all high in protein to satisfy your teenager's hunger, and they can all be ready in less than 30 minutes. If you want to grab a free copy, go to lifestyleforteens.com/recipes.
This is the Lifestyle and Weight Loss for Teens podcast. If you're a mom and want to help your child who is struggling to lose weight, you are in the right place. If you are looking for healthy lifestyle tips, Dr. Gorgory is here to help you understand the science around safe weight loss in teens and children. Because what works for adult weight loss is not always the best for children. This podcast is for educational purposes only. Dr. Gorgory does not provide medical, psychological, or nutrition therapy advice. You should not use this information to diagnose or treat any health problems without consulting your own medical practitioner. And now, your host, Dr. Jenny Gorgory.
Welcome back for another episode. I hope you will enjoy today's topic, which is TV and pediatric obesity. So I really don't want to ruin the pleasure of watching TV. And I know how good it feels, especially if it's like a Friday night and you want to watch a movie or series on TV with the whole family, perhaps enjoying some nice dinner, enjoy drink or soda or water, and it's just so relaxing. And trust me, I'm not here to take this away from you. This is an important part of our lives. But TV, as anything, any other pleasure in life, if you overdo it or if you lose control of it, if you don't use it right, it can actually have the negative effect. And instead of creating pleasure, it can actually create pain and misery. And I'm just here to just discuss paper one research, one small part of the research that has been done around this topic. And my hope is that at the end of this episode, you will have a better understanding of why do we insist or why do we recommend to avoid screen time and TV and have some limits, because it actually is associated with pediatric obesity. Okay, but before I get to the article of the day, I just wanted to start by saying what is the recommended amount of screen time by the American Academy of Pediatrics. So recently, those guidelines have been adjusted to reflect and take into account the family decisions. So American Academy of Pediatrics, as of now, does not recommend any TV watching and screen time for children that are less than 18 months, unless it is only for social interaction. Let's say it's used for FaceTime to see grandmother and things like that. And then for older kids, it is recommended that parents come up with an individualized plan for every child, and they create certain limits of how much screen time is advisable. And I would highly recommend you have this discussion with your pediatrician to ensure that the children don't watch too much TV and they have enough time for other developmental activities and also enough time for physical activities and sports and do their homework and things like that. Let me also mention something else. I will be talking about one research that was done in regards to television watching, but in reality, it's not only television. Like when we say, and this is an older study, it was published in 1998, but now, you know, it's not only television. Like people and children spend a lot of time on iPad, on phones, in front of laptop or computer. And so it used to be that it was mainly TV, the basic sedentary activity. However, nowadays, there's exposure to other devices that also count as screen time. So keep that in mind. When we refer to TV watching, in reality, this could be applied to watching of all screen time. Okay, so let me just now jump to the paper that there's this excellent research that was done, as I mentioned, a few years ago in 1998. It was published in JAMA, which is one of the most respectful scientific journals in the field. It was done by Dr. Anderson and his group. It was done at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. And the title of this manuscript is The Relationship of Physical Activity and Television Watching with Body Weight and Level of Fatness Among Children. So this study was what we call an observational study. So the researchers didn't try to intervene and somehow change the behavior of the children. They just wanted to describe what is happening and whether the children that watch more TV basically are more obese than children that watch less TV. And in order to answer that question, the more subjects you have enrolled in such a study, the stronger the results. So this was actually a very big study. It enrolled a total of 4,063 children that were between the ages of 8 and 16, and they were examined as part of the National Health and Nutritional Examination Survey, which is also known as NHANES. It was the third NHANES. So the researchers actually took particular to recruit subjects from different ethnic backgrounds. So in this particular study, they put more effort into recruiting non-Hispanic white, non-Hispanic black, Mexican American, and of course, white children. So there was a good representation from different ethnic backgrounds, which is not always the case in many epidemiologic studies. So they interviewed these children. They went to their home and they asked them questions. And they asked them questions about their exercise, and they also asked them questions about how much TV they're watching. And 2 weeks after this interview took place, they asked the children to go to the research center where they actually took measurements of their body fatness. and they calculated what we call body mass index. Now, for those of you who don't know what body mass index, I would advise you to go back to my first episode where I explain what body mass index is and how we can calculate it. But basically, it's the most important measure, and that's how we define if a child is overweight or not based on the body mass index. So the study design was, as I said, observational. They just wanted to collect information and then try to find whether there is an association between television watching and body fatness. Now, another method they use to estimate the body fatness is what we call skin folding. And basically what that is they have a specific tool where they can calculate how thick the fatness of the subcutaneous tissue is. And it's another measure, let's say, of the same of calculating the amount of fatness. So let's go now to the results. So it was, as I mentioned, this was a great study because it was it had a very big sample size, a total of 4,063 children participated in that study. They were between the ages of 8 and 16. And they looked at the results of their television, like how much television they were watching. And what they found was that children that were watching less than 2 hours of television per day were, compared to children that were watching 2 or 3 hours per day, or children that were watching more than 4 hours per day, they found that the group of children that watched more than 4 hours per day of TV, they were significantly more overweight than children that watched less than 2 hours of TV, or they watched 2 or 3 hours of TV. And when they found the similar results when they measure the amount of fatness, also by looking at the skin fold thickness, like how thick is the skin, that again, children that watched more than 4 hours of TV per day had significantly higher amount of fatness compared to the kids that were watching 2 to 3 hours of TV or less than 2 hours of TV. And even those that watched 2 or 3 hours of TV, they were also significantly more overweight than those that watched less than 2 hours. So it was like a gradual increase of the TV watching was associated with a gradual increase in the amount of fatness. So as I mentioned, the researchers also looked at how much physical activity the kids were doing. And I'm not going to focus too much on the physical activity at this point because I want to concentrate on the TV. However, just to give you an idea, they found that as a total group, approximately 80% of kids were exercising at least 3 times per week or more. However, this percentage was significantly lower in the girls that they were in the 14 to 16 age. So only 65% of girls that they were between 14 and 16 had vigorous activity more than 3 times per week. And also this percentage was lower in Mexican-American girls that they were 72.6%. Non-Hispanic Black girls was 69.4%. And non-Hispanic White girls, it was 77.1%. So while the difference in the exercise was not really significantly different between boys and girls in those that they were less than 14 years of age. When they hit the 14 years, there seems to be a discrepancy, and teenager girls exercised in general less than boys. And in fact, the researchers mentioned that this may actually even be an overestimation, given that this particular survey was done during the summertime when kids tend to be more active compared to wintertime. So something to keep in mind. So what is the main conclusion? Like, we all thought or assumed that if you are watching more TV, that contributes to the obesity. But in fact, this study actually proved it. And it is really striking that an hour of TV can actually make a significant difference, right? Because if you think about it, 4 hours compared to 2 to 3 hours is really one more hour per day. And 2 to 3 hours compared to 2 hours or less than 2 hours is again 1 hour or maybe two per group, right? So even 1 to 2 hours difference in TV watching of TV watching every day can make a significant difference in the amount of obesity. So what is the take-home message here? Besides the fact that we need to explore a little better and understand why there are these differences in female girls and in certain ethnic groups about physical activity, we also should keep in mind that TV watching can actually be an important factor when it comes to pediatric obesity. So if you are a teenager who's trying to lose weight, or if you would like, or if you have a teenager that, if you're a parent, you have a teenager, try to target the amount of TV that you're watching every day, and you may be surprised. How do you think more time on TV make us gain weight? It's not only that we watch TV and we don't exercise, right? So that's one obvious explanation and a very common one, but it's more into that. Like, so there is, as I mentioned, there is often food associated with TV watching. And oftentimes when we watch TV and we eat, we don't really pay attention to our hunger and fullness, right? We may continue to eat just because we enjoy watching the movie and we keep eating just to increase the pleasure. However, that doesn't mean we're hungry or we really want to eat, right? We're not consciously eating. We are eating, but we kind of like don't pay attention to what we eat. Even though we don't pay attention, though, that food still goes inside our body, and it's a factor that contributes to obesity, right? So not paying attention to how much we are eating also contributes to pediatric obesity. Another reason is that oftentimes when you're watching TV, there are a lot of advertising of delicious food like cakes and sodas and ice cream and you name it, right? So it does create those cravings and the desire for all that junk food that is around, and it can taste delicious. So it is possible that, you know, when you're exposed more to those advertisements about all this junk food, you're like more likely to go ahead and grab and have that. So these are just some ideas of how TV may affect our weight. And of course, the goal of this episode today is not, I'm not going to tell you what to do, right? That's always your decision. But I'm just here to empower you with the knowledge of making the right decision about your life. And just think about it. Think about it. And if I had, and actually I have a small challenge for you, if you are one of the people that love challenges, I challenge you to have your notebook and just keep notes of how much TV and in general, how much screen time you spent every day. And you may tell me that, you know what, I'm in the group that I don't watch more than 2 hours TV, so I'm good. There's nothing for me to work on this. And that may be the case, so that's great. But I still challenge you. Keep notes. Just literally say, this is how much, this is what I did. And count the time that you spend on your computer, count the time that you spend on your phone, count the time that you spend on the TV, anything that is screen time. Just count it down. Count it down for yourself. Count it down for your children. And you may be surprised. And it's not a bad thing if you're surprised. In fact, it could be a great thing, right? Because you may identify an area where you can work more. And I hope this was helpful. That's all I had for today. And enjoy your life and your TV. As I said, it is a pleasure. I absolutely am with you on that. Just spend a few more minutes to think about it a little more. And is actually TV watching serving you, or is it making you gain extra pounds that you would really like to get rid of? Okay, my friends, take care. Bye-bye.
If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, I invite you to come check out the LIFT program. It's Dr. Gorgori's 12-week coaching program for teens and their moms, where we take all this information, we apply it to your daily life, and we work together so your teenager learns how to create a healthy lifestyle so they can feel happier, more confident, less stressed, and love their body again. Visit the website at lifestyleforteens.com and click on the Work With Me and free resources to learn more about this program and get free help to start this journey right away. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you in the next episode of Lifestyle and Weight Loss for Teens.